This is a Clearview Original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. David, how's your immune system lately?
Honestly, it's in critical condition.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. What if I told you that similar to our immune systems, which produce more antibodies when under attack, the muscadine grape also produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when under stress from the environment it grows in, which leads to a whole host of health benefits.
I might just gobble them up like Tic Tacs.
Well, my friend, MightyMuscadine.com has everything you could ever need to take your health game to the next level. All their products are gluten-free, trans-fat-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, and best of all, they actually taste delicious.
I had some of their protein powder just this morning, and it is delicious.
I know that's right.
Their grape juice, delicious.
Tell it.
Their antioxidant beverages, delicious. Their shampoo, their body lotion, all delicious.
What?
And I'll tell you something else. Mighty Muscadine believes in protecting God's great earth for generations to come. That's why their farming and production is environmentally friendly, and they make every effort to protect and preserve without the use of pesticides and herbicides.
You ate shampoo, though.
The only problem is I'm a little short on funds.
Well, fret no more, my friend. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com right now and use the promo code TODAY. That's T-O-D-A-Y to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, that's promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on your purchase of Mighty Muscadine products. And listen, every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps support us here at the Clearview Today Show.
Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com and experience the difference firsthand. Remember, that promo code is TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y.
Welcome to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find our show online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, write in and let us know to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. You can leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars for any reason. And of course, today is April the 3rd, which means our date the word is coming to us from James 4:3. It says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures."
This concept of ask God for what you want is lost on people, because so many times people will default to, can I ask God for $1 million? Can I ask God for a Lamborghini? Can I ask God to be an astronaut on the moon? You can, but the understanding here is that as you grow in your faith, as you mature as a believer, you're going to start to want the things that God wants.
Right, right.
You're going to start to desire the things that God's heart desires. So what you ask for is what is good for you and what God would intend to give you. But here it says, you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss. You ask wrongly,
right,
so that you can spend it on your pleasure. So that, can I have $1 million? You're asking the wrong question.
Right. And it's one of the parts of growing up and maturing, and I've seen this even in my own life, is that you do start to learn what to want.
Yeah.
You can want wrong things. You can want things that are either counterproductive to God's plan for your life or that just don't mature you at all, will actually hinder you.
Right.
And so a lot of times, like, imagine if I'd gotten $1 million at 21 years old. Like, imagine how that would have stunted my maturation. Is that a word? Maturation?
Yeah.
Imagine how that would have stunted me. Rather than, God, give me a family, give me a wife, give me a child, these things that are actually going to grow me and mature me. Give me wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, give me eyes to see what it is that you're doing in my community with this future radio show. These are things that I should have been wanting all along. And in time, growing with God, it's actually been able to happen.
Yeah. Dr. Shah said it this way one day on the I think it was on the radio show, but God's plan for your life is what we would ask for if we had the sense to
ask
for it.
That's right. Exactly right.
And that's a great way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Ryan.
Yes.
I got some beef. I got a little bit of beef. Because I walked in this morning and you were
wearing.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, no.
I walked in this morning and you were wearing like a Hawaiian shirt.
I was, yes, that's
correct. And I remember asking, like, hey, is there something going on? Is it like a fun night in Awana? And you were like, no, just wanted to wear a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Now sitting here on the, you look nice. I was going to say, you look very put together.
Thank you.
Why did you change out of the Hawaiian shirt? Did you
not
feel it was?
I was so self-conscious about my decision. I had to go and change out of shape.
Were you self-conscious because of what I said, or when you like walked out of the house?
No, it was directly because of what you
because, said. Okay, so yeah. it was because of that.
I was crippled by it, and I had to go change.
I've never seen you wear a Hawaiian shirt. I thought that was odd.
Well, here's it's different than a normal Hawaiian shirt because the material of the shirt is not that real thin, like drapey material. It feels like a regular shirt.
It's thick. It's comfortable.
And, you know, I just kind of wanted to spice things up a little bit.
Yeah. But then
jazz it up a little bit.
Well, I wasn't like, ew, that's gross. But I didn't say that.
It felt like that was what your eyes
said. It was out of character. Yeah, it was out of character. I was shocked.
Felt like your eyes were judging me harshly.
It would have been like,
I wanted to crawl in the earth.
It would have been like walking in and seeing like, I don't know, John MacArthur in like a clown suit. It was so out of character. It was like, it's not bad.
But
it's just,
crazy shirts are not totally out of character for me.
Sure, but you do it on like on event, just like to do it.
I mean, not always. I mean, think about the bird shirt that I have. I have a shirt with whales on it. I got a shirt with flamingos.
Sure. I guess
Hawaiian was a little bit. It was a larger step.
It's pushing it.
It was.
It's pushing it.
But sometimes you got to push the boundary.
But here's the thing. I started like in my head. I was like, okay, I'm gonna banter about this. I'm gonna rail this dude on the radio. Now I come to find out that it's not here. So it's like,
well, and this should be a lesson for you that words matter.
Yeah. True.
My feelings were deeply hurt.
David and I wore Hawaiian shirts to our first day of drum tracking for the album.
Yeah.
And mine was so uncomfortable that I think we talked about this on the show. I can't remember. I actually made him change with me. We went to a pizza place and then we went in the bathroom together and changed shirts.
Hoping that no one would know. We didn't go in the bathroom together. You said, get in that bathroom and give me your shirt.
It was so itchy. The shirt I bought was really, really itchy and it was a little too small.
This one is not.
Yeah. And he did. He gave me a shirt, and I really appreciated that. The reason we wore Hawaiian shirts was because the first time we ever met our producer, he was wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Sure.
So I wanted to wear one to show respect.
Would you say that the producer, he's a pretty fashionable guy?
No.
Oh.
No. No. Great guy. Yeah. Shout out to Travis Motley. Great guy. Very talented guy. He can be fashionable sometimes.
I think he's dressed well. He's dressed nice.
I like his boots. I like the boots he wears, and I like his pants. And his shirts are really good. And his jacket.
That's
he wears
the entire
really nice
wardrobe.
Leather jackets. I like his watch.
Yeah. Hair.
Very nice.
Hair's good.
It's very well put together. His beard is well groomed.
Yeah.
He is put together well.
Yeah.
He's very fashionable.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to circle back to what I said. You know what? I'm going to get the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, let's put it on.
I'm going to get the Hawaiian shirt on the break. Because I'm done being ashamed of my fashion decision.
Let's do the Hawaiian shirt.
If it's
for the
good
episode.
Enough for you, Travis Motley, it's good enough for me.
Let's do it. Let's talk.
Write it and let us know if you have a picture of you in a Hawaiian shirt. Write it and let us know. 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation, in the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house, wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, I'm surprised you didn't wear your Hawaiian shirt today, since it's apparently luau day. Now, you are missing, and I didn't bring this up in the intro, but you are missing one of the key elements of a Hawaiian shirt, which is you've got the button. You're wearing it like a dress shirt, like you have to peacock. Kasha, Hawaiian shirts, would you wear them on the on the podcast?
I would. Back in the day. So you, when I say back in the day, you're talking about the early 2000s.
Right.
It was big to wear Hawaiian shirts among pastors.
Really?
Yes.
Pastors would wear them, like from the pulpit as they preached?
The ones who were trying to be seeker sensitive. Right, we don't say that anymore, but that there was a term called seeker sensitive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's because Rick Warren was wearing Hawaiian shirts.
That's really the only reason.
Yeah, yes. Rick Warren did it.
So if you want to be like Rick Warren, like Saddleback, you want your church to be like Saddleback, so put on the Hawaiian shirt. And, you know, I fell for that for a very brief moment.
Tell me you didn't wear Hawaiian shirts from the pulpit.
Not from the pulpit.
Okay, okay.
But I wore it, but then I was like, this really is not me.
Yeah.
And we're not Saddleback.
Yeah.
And we're not trying to be Saddleback. We need to be the church that God has called us to be, and we need to become contemporary.
Right, right.
Not losing our traditional doctrine and values and conservative, all of that. But we do need to become more contemporary.
Right.
But it's not going to be with wearing Hawaiian shirt.
Not going to be the make.
Hawaiian shirt ain't going to do it.
How long do you think the Hawaiian shirt stint lasted in your ministry or in your life?
In my life,
yeah, yeah,
it was very short.
You think a couple weeks?
It was a little more than that. I wore it. Was a red, like a pink color, again, with these palm leaves and stuff, flowers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I wore it, but it was not for that purpose anymore.
Do you still have it?
No.
It's gone.
It's long gone. It's long gone. And time to time, people did bring back that, like John Corson. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have ever studied John Corson Study Bible. He's more from Calvary Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And I like him, but I may not agree with every tenets of Calvary Chapel or the theology, but he wore those Hawaiian shirts.
Very
cool. And people were like, if John Corson wears it, I'm wearing it.
I literally walked
in. I knew a guy who, and I think you know the guy too, who wore a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, I do. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, so he was a big John Corson.
That's why he did?
Yes.
Okay. Well.
But I'm like.
Makes sense.
You are so sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good. You're good. I walked in this morning. I literally was like, oh, is it like silly shirt and Awana night? And Ryan looked at me stone face. He's like, no.
This is my shirt.
No, this is what my shirt for today.
Very cool.
This is the shirt for today.
Well, I don't want to land so hard on your shirt. I think it actually looks pretty good on you.
What I do like, and I don't want to camp on the shirt forever. What I do like about this is, you know how the typical Hawaiian shirts are like super thin and like real. Yeah. This is not that way. This feels more like a regular shirt that you would wear with the Hawaiian print.
I'm gonna touch it with your consent. Look at that.
Yeah, but I do want to make a, how do I say it, to challenge or call someone out.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
And that would be my son-in-law,
Jared.
No. Mm. So this was not last year, but the year before, he gifted me a Hawaiian shirt.
I remember.
And it was, what was it, too big or too small?
It was too big, I believe.
It was too big.
I think it was too big, because it was like draped.
It was like, it looked huge.
Yeah.
Like a kimono or something.
Yeah. Yes, and not that I was like over the moon that he was giving me a Hawaiian shirt.
Right.
But he gave me the shirt, and then he's like, oh, man, okay, no, we got to take that back. So he and Abigail, our daughter, was like, oh, yeah, we're going to take it back.
Yeah,
you haven't seen it yet, I bet.
I haven't seen the replacement yet. And his response was, that store doesn't carry it anymore.
I'm going to call baloney.
Yeah.
I'm going to call baloney. You can find that shirt.
Yeah.
Well, you going to go to the store and just be like, oh, well, whatever. Like, they don't have a website. Like, they
I've hit a roadblock. Guess we're done.
Yeah. So I'm calling him out.
Yeah. I think that's why.
You need to send this link to him.
Oh, he listens religiously. I think he can feel it right now. He's sitting in art class or whatever right now with just hot
in
ears.
Boston. Yeah. All of a sudden, he feels like
hair on the back of his neck is standing up.
Yeah.
And a warm breeze.
Warm sensation. Yeah, ears are just going. You know, he should have had more discernment, man.
He should have,
when he went to that store and made that decision, he should have said, you know what, I need to have a discerning mind about me.
And then he has a picture of me coming through that mist.
Speaking of discernment, Dr. Shaw, we're going to talk about that today, but what is the daily encouragement you want to leave with our listeners and our viewers today?
Be like Peter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Peter was in the boat and Jesus came walking on the waves, he did not just jump in and swim to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come.
That's right.
Or allow me to come, or give me the ability to follow you or to walk on the waves. So we should ask that question, Lord, if it is you.
That's right.
And a lot of times people make decisions, whether it's job-related, relationships, location, moving, and or changing ministries, and there is no, Lord, if it's you. It's just things lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Things lined up means what?
Yeah. Mm, yeah. Like the planets have just aligned, and that's supposed to mean
too
something.
Too many things happened. Okay. But did you sense the voice of God? Mm-hmm. Did you really sense the voice of God? Because God doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you have been hearing God's voice and things lined up, of course, follow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's kind of funny. We did an episode a while back with Michael Whatley. Do you remember that? We sat right at this table and did an episode.
For those of you who do not know, Michael Whatley is...
He is the...
head of the GOP
Head
now.
Of the GOP. Yeah, that's right. That was a very recent mm-hmm. promotion that he got. I think he was elected as the head of the GOP, which is an enormous deal, really big deal, very, very impactful, influential man. He sat right at this table right beside Dr. Sean. He said the exact same thing that you just said, which is Peter had the discernment. He had the wisdom to know, I'm not walking on that water unless you call me to do it.
Right.
Yes.
And he had.
And if it's you who's calling me.
If it's really you. And I thought that really stuck with me because the application for us, and I even took it away from that conversation, was I should be asking God hey, clarification, please tell me that it's you. Give me the wisdom to call out to you.
Right.
Rather than just to follow blindly or just go running off into what I think is wise.
People move by emotions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And as J. Sidlow Baxter used to say, emotions are the shallowest part of your being.
Yeah. That's right.
And God does not do his deepest work in the shallowest part.
That's right.
Great statement.
Isn't it?
That's a great
statement.
So
emotions may mislead you.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions will lie to you. You may feel everything felt this way. And our culture right now is really geared towards emotions.
Oh, yeah. Extremely so.
In fact, if you ever say, you know, emotions are not the main thing, you will have even church folks.
Mm-hmm.
You would even have people with seminary degrees who will chastise you and say, but you do know that emotions make up who you are.
That's right.
And I'm like, yes. I'm not saying for a moment that emotions are not part of me or that I should ignore my emotions or I should just squelch them or just stuff them down. No, but emotions should support, not lead.
Right.
What God is telling me to do or what I think I need to do.
That's right.
So many times people have emotions in the driver's seat. And they maybe belong in the car. Yeah. Maybe they belong on the ride, but they shouldn't be driving.
Right.
Like the old illustration of the train and the cars and then the engineer, I guess, in the back mm-hmm. or whatever. So it's like the facts, faith, feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Facts come first, then come faith, and then feelings follow.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that I think is really sad about where our culture is today is that not only are we leading by our emotions and letting our emotions kind of drive everything, but we, in doing so, we're almost taking away that spirit of discernment from our minds,
mm-hmm.
you know, who we let speak into our lives. I was on TikTok this morning, and I know we talked about this before, but it just the quote unquote influencers, the people who we're allowing to speak into our lives are getting younger and younger and less experienced and more and more foolish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're taking legitimate life advice from these people who
literally
their only qualification is they have a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they build up qualifications like, we've been through the same experiences.
Mm-hmm.
We come from the same age. And by the way, this happens in every age. This is nothing new. This is not just 2024 mm-hmm. that people have just decided that young people should be the ones we listen to. This happens in every age. It happened in the 60s. It happened in good times, like even the Revolutionary War. Mm-hmm. It was not just the old people were fighting. It was young people.
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. Well, he was maybe a little older, but George Washington, James Madison, these were young people. So there is a place for young people, but they were so steeped in education, mm-hmm. understanding, philosophy, Bible especially, that their decisions were not just, hey, I can sound cool,
mm-hmm.
and if you can connect with me, then you know I'm credible,
right.
and you know you should submit to what I'm telling you to do, mm-hmm. and let's do this.
Right. Yeah.
So there is a difference between this generation and that. Previously, yes, young people did speak up and did lead the charge, but at least there was some thought behind it. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know.
No, well, of course not. And it's kind of funny because when we read in the Bible and it says to be discerning against false teachers, we think of old
mm-hmm.
religious elite people in like religious or political authority that are like evil, like Illuminati behind the scenes. We don't think of these like 15-year-old, 16-year-old kids on TikTok complaining about.
They're also deceiving.
Right. Yeah. They're deceiving you. And they're talking from a place of moral superiority. They're a false teacher. But we don't picture them as false teachers.
And it's very easy now to make a video look very polished online. It's very easy to have the right filters and have the right lighting. I mean, there are 12-year-olds out there who know more about lighting than I do. So it's very easy to make yourself appear as an expert and to use the right tags in your video and to say the right buzzwords. People are like, oh, this person knows what they're talking about, and I'm going to listen because it's in front of me on my phone. We've been conditioned
they're
to
saying things that I can relate with.
Right.
Okay. They definitely have a leg up over the older folks.
Yeah. Sure.
But does that mean they have the truth?
Right.
They have the answer. That's the difference there.
Exactly. Yes. We relate the amount of views that they get to the truth, because if millions of people are watching this video, then millions of people must agree with this video. So am I in the minority? I can't be. So there must be some truth there.
Or even they're identifying the problem.
Yeah.
So sometimes I give them credit. They're identifying the problem, but is their solution the right solution?
Right. Mm.
Very, very true.
Maybe not.
What would you say is the solution? Like, of course, we know that Jesus is the solution to all of our problems, but what is the solution that as Christians we should be discerning for, I guess, should be looking for?
I would say something timeless. If your solution is only time-bound, then something is not right, because I don't want to just make decisions based on what this will benefit me now. I want to know, has this benefited people before?
True.
Before me? And will this benefit people beyond me?
Yeah.
Then I know that there's some timelessness in that decision.
That's a good point.
It's a truth. Truth is timeless. Truth is not time bound.
Yeah.
It seems as though we've replaced the need for truth with a need for compassion. Like, you know what I mean? Like, truth is no longer something that our society or our culture values anymore. It's all compassion.
Yeah.
And that, I know that was one thing when we first started the show, even before we started the show, before we recorded the first episode, we met. I remember we met in the cafe and we had the whiteboard and we were like, how can every single episode have both truth and compassion, or truth and mercy?
Yes.
It has to have both.
Yes.
It can't be one without the other.
Jesus was full of mercy and truth.
Mm-hmm. And since then, every single episode we have looked at and said, does it have both? Does it have understanding? And does it have truth?
That's the magic.
Because it brings out favor from God and favor from people.
That's right.
I think, too, it's really tempting for those who are maybe our younger listeners who are listening, there's this real push against like an establishment. There's really this real push against something that is old, because by nature, especially in the teenage years, you grow up feeling like you're the center of the world.
Right.
You have this self-awareness where you are the main character and everybody just revolves around you. Now that gets better as you get older, but thinking about solutions that are timeless versus time-bound, it's difficult for people to see solutions outside of being time bound, especially if they're younger, because they think this is it, this is my world, this is all that applies to me.
And this is how it must have always existed.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I do want to give credit where credit is due. And I mentioned that a few moments ago, so I want to reiterate that younger people, younger generation of every generation does have the ability to discern the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have the ability, or they're built that way, to challenge the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are good, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus picked his 12 disciples, they were young men.
Right.
They were not older men. They were not in their 60s, 70s. He could have picked those people, but they would have told Jesus, you're a radical.
Yeah.
You need to go back to the temple. You need to go back and submit yourself to the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. In fact, that's exactly what the Pharisees were telling him to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you got to go through us. if you have our endorsement, and what John talks about that, you know, Jesus did not give himself to any man because he knew what was in man, and he did not need that anybody should testify of him.
Right.
Right? He didn't need their endorsement.
Yeah.
So they were saying, you need our support. So in that sense, I would say, the young generation, if they're listening today, we don't want you to think that we are talking down to you and saying, you know, you need to mind your little, you know, self and know that the older folks have all the wisdom. No, I think you need both. Mm-hmm. You need the young generation to identify the problems and to challenge the status quo. And then we need the younger generation to bring wisdom, not to be the old dog, you know, guard dog holding things down. But we need the older generation to provide true wisdom, not what's comfortable to them.
Right.
Not what is going to serve me and my needs, but how is this going to serve everybody after I'm gone?
Yeah.
And that's what I love so much about the model that you've established here at Clearview, Dr. Shaw, is that we are an intergenerational church, not just a multi-generational where there are different generations represented. I mean, that's kind of the bare minimum.
Right.
An intergenerational church where there are people from different walks of life, different ages, working together, standing shoulder to shoulder. We still have age-graded ministries, but across the board, people serving across the generational lines.
Right. Yeah. Right. There is a sense, I think, at Clearview of we need to go back to certain things, but it's not going backwards because it just was better back then or it felt better.
Right.
It's because the things that we were previously built on are rock solid.
Right.
And so we can build new and great things on a very solid foundation rather than I want to go back because it felt better. It made me more comfortable.
Yeah.
Everything just felt better back in the day.
I miss the old days.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss the old days too. But is that life? That's it? I miss the old days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. The life is where you're serving God. Life is where you're seeing God's kingdom grow. Not just that I miss the old days and I love to go settle back and just think about the good old days and just reminisce or just roll in nostalgia.
Yeah. I even think about your dissertation. Like your dissertation is the entire thing is about we need to go back to what we were doing in the field of textual criticism, like back before the 60s. You weren't doing textual criticism back before the 60s. No. You weren't alive.
No.
So this is a nostalgic thing that we need to go back to. This is, we were on the verge of something really great and we lost focus.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe the same is true in America and in our world today. Right. Like if we build on the right things, we are on the verge of discovering or building or creating something that can really change the world.
Right. Yeah. You know, you bring up my dissertation. The problem with the modern trends in textual criticism is not that they are looking for new ways to study the text. Mm-hmm. It's that they believe there is no original text. Mm-hmm. Or if there was one, it is irretrievably lost.
It's just a hopeless goose chase.
Yeah. So what are we going to do now? But we're going to create the text that we feel best suits our need or needs. Mm. That is a problem.
It's dangerous.
Right.
Yeah.
Because now, what do you believe?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is your ideology? What are your hang-ups? So you're going to create a text that will suit your need or your agenda. Nobody's going to say, this is just a text for me. So I'm not going to superimpose this on you. I'm not going to force feed you the text for me. No, you're going to say, hey, this is a text that I feel like really serves me and my sinful nature, which is not sinful anymore because I have altered the text now. So that's what I'm going to preach to you.
Yeah.
So you're going to submit to that.
Right. And we're going to still call it the Word of God.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Right.
So it's not like let's go back to an old system of doing things, examining variant readings and doing old-fashioned textual criticism to arrive at the right reading. No, this is about original text doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So let's create one.
Right.
Like David Parker, who's a very smart guy, University of Birmingham. And his philosophy was basically there's coming a day when anybody can create their own text. It's a living text of the Gospels.
Mm.
Living text means it morphs and it evolves as the person working with it.
Feels kind of deceitful. Because the living text of the gospel sounds pretty positive.
Yeah, it's deceitful.
Yeah, that sounds kind of good and true. And anything that's living, if God's word is living, it has life.
Yeah, I mean
that's a good thing.
It says God's word is living and active.
Yeah.
But that's not what it means.
Yeah. No, and the Bible is the word of God. We talk about timeless truths.
Right.
It anticipated all of this because it has experienced all of this, and it was experiencing all of this, and it is warning us about similar deceptions to come,
right?
Or deceivers to come. So in 2 John verse 7, there are no chapters there. There's only you know, one chapter. I want to read that passage, 2 John 7 through 11, mm-hmm. if y'all want to read it.
Sure.
I can read it. Okay. It says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose things that we worked for, but we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Whoever does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shall share in his evil deeds."
Wow. So if you open your mind to people like this, there's a complicitness.
Yeah.
You are complicit. You are partially culpable for their evil,
yeah.
for their wickedness.
Yeah, yeah. But our encouragement today is be discerning.
Yeah,
take that extra time to really sift through the information that you're taking in and make sure it lines up with those three criteria and with the truth of the
That's
Word
right.
of God.
That's right.
Hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you benefited from it, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll down on the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. John, what's coming up on tomorrow's episode?
There's so many times where we try to view life through our own lens, right? And a lot of times that lens is smeared, that lens is dirty, kind of like these glasses I'm wearing right now. They're kind of smudged up a little bit. But it gives us a distorted view of how life really is. But yep. the gospel lays out how life is, how God's laid it out for us. And we're going to talk about that on tomorrow's show.
Amen. Make sure you guys are here. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.